Chapter 8. On Monday, I woke up hungrier than ever. My money and food were gone, and I'd missed dinner Sunday night because Larry was in one of those moods where anything set him off. "I'm sick of people saying they ain't hiring," he had complained after being skipped for a job as a security guard somewhere. He smelled of beer, and I bet the person he spoke to noticed, though Larry wouldn't admit it. I got so hungry that night, I decided to do something I'd never done before: get free breakfast at school. Back at Lincoln, I knew kids who showed up at school early for a free meal. Bluford had the same program. I'd seen the forms the school sent home at the end of the summer and thrown them out. Food was never a problem, until now. Before Mom even got out of bed, I showered, threw on my clothes, and headed out the door to Bluford. The shoe I'd damaged at Graham's on Saturday started coming apart, but I didn't have time to worry about it. My mind was on eating. I rushed to school and was about to enter the cafeteria when a group of girls rounded the corner and nearly ran into me. They were all dressed in sweats. Some wore Bluford cheerleading t-shirts. Cindy and Jamie were with them. Cindy spotted me first.
"Ben!"
she called out, surprised. All the girls stared. Cindy had that friendly smile on her face.
"I can't believe you're up this early, too. Jamie dragged me here for cheerleading practice. What about you? You here for football practice?"
My stomach dropped. I shook my head slowly. I didn't know what to say. Jamie understood before Cindy. I saw her look toward the cafeteria and then at my face. She knew I'd come to eat.
"Cindy, come on," Jamie urged, tugging her by her shirt. "We've got to get back to the gym."
"Wait,"
Cindy said to her.
"What's wrong, Ben?"
she asked. My words stuck in my throat. I gave an awkward shrug and glanced in the direction of the cafeteria.
I couldn't sleep, so I...
"Come on, Cindy,
now," Jamie said. The other girls turned away. Cindy looked confused for a second, then I saw her get it. Her jaw dropped. Her eyes opened wide. The smile melted away.
"Oh,"
she said, stepping back.
I gotta go, Ben."
Her face changed then. She stopped looking at me.
"See you later,"
she said, and then hurried off. I felt like a zombie as I walked into the cafeteria and got my tray of scrambled eggs. As hungry as I was, I suddenly lost my appetite. The rest of the day, people seemed to avoid me. It felt like the whole school was looking down at me, though no one said anything to my face except Reggie. I was on my way to Mr. Mitchell's class when my ripped shoes started making a slapping sound each time I stepped. Reggie followed me to class and heard it.
"What's up, Slappy?" he called out. "Gonna suck up to Mitchell again, Slappy?"
Reggie pointed my shoe out to other kids. I ignored him and took my seat, but he kept laughing as class started. At one point, Mr. Mitchell asked me to come to his desk for a second. He was handing back a quiz I scored a 78 on, my lowest grade in years. He wasn't happy, but I pretended not to notice. All I wanted was for my shoe to keep quiet, but Reggie wouldn't let it go. He clapped his hands lightly each time my sole slapped the floor. Other kids started laughing, and I noticed Cindy wouldn't even look at me. I wanted to kill him.
"We can do without the sound effects, Reggie,"
Mr. Mitchell said. Reggie stopped, but the rest of the class was on to the joke. A couple guys started slapping their hands against their jeans to make the sound. Other kids started giggling. In the hallway after class, Reggie kept at it.
"You gonna slap your way to history now, Slappy? Maybe kiss up to your teacher in there too, huh, Slappy?"
I stopped in the hallway, my blood boiling, my hands shaking.
"What's the matter, Slappy? Your mama can't afford no shoes and no breakfast?"
"Ouch," someone shouted at his comment, which hit me like one of Larry's punches. I turned around. People started moving back, giving us space.
"Oh yeah, here we go,"
someone cheered.
"What you gonna do, Slappy?"
he said. He didn't think I'd do anything. I could tell. His hands were at his side. I stepped forward, grabbing him by the throat, and shoved him back into a locker with a loud crash.
"You say one more thing, I'll slap the teeth out of your mouth."
Kids cheered at my words.
Fight!
They yelled.
Hold up!
Shouted a familiar voice. I felt arms yanking me back by the shoulder. I turned to see Dez and Daryl.
Man, he's just a punk, Ben. Don't let him get to you.
A second later, a teacher and two security guards pushed through the crowd. Kids scattered in all directions, trying to stay out of trouble. But Reggie and I were caught.
You two, in the office, now!
The teacher yelled. 5 minutes later, Reggie and I were in front of Miss Spencer.
What's the problem?
She asked.
Just a little misunderstanding,
I said.
Yeah, that's all it was,
Reggie chimed in.
No big thing.
We both pretended to know nothing.
Well, since this is the first time I'm seeing you both, let's make this clear. You fight, you're out. That's the kind of ship I run here. Reggie, you should know that. Ben, you better learn real quick. I'll let this go, but don't wind up here again, understand?
We both nodded, and she sent us back to class. As we walked down the hallway, I heard my shoe slapping again. This time, Reggie kept quiet, but it didn't matter. The damage was done. To Cindy and the rest of the school, I was Slappy. The kid whose mom was poor, the one with bruises on his face, the one who needed free breakfast. I wanted to escape from everything, but there was no way out. When I got home from school, Larry's car was gone. Inside, I found Mom stretched out on the couch, half asleep. I was exhausted, too.
Hi, Ben. How was school?
She asked, fighting back a yawn. It was a question she hardly asked anymore.
Fine,
I said, taking off my ripped shoe and walking toward the kitchen. She picked up her cigarettes and followed me.
How come you're home so early? I asked as I grabbed a pair of scissors. I didn't feel good this morning, so I called out sick,
she explained as she sank into her kitchen seat. I knew she was still recovering from the beating Larry'd given her. Through the cloud of cigarette smoke, I noticed a purple smudge under her left eye. She tried to cover it with makeup, but I knew it was a new bruise. I was sure there were others I couldn't see. He never left too many marks where people could see them. The middle of the body, the chest, back, and legs. Those were his favorite targets. I cut the loose rubber off the sole of my sneaker and looked at her.
Mom, why don't we just leave?
The words popped out of my mouth. She shook her head as if my words annoyed her.
Please, Ben,
she said wearily, rubbing her forehead like she had a headache.
That's just crazy talk.
Crazy? I'll tell you what's crazy,
I snapped.
Crazy is staying here with a man that hits you and hits me and lies around drinking while you work. That's crazy.
That's enough, Ben,
she said angrily.
Don't talk that way about Larry. He's a good man. He's just going through a rough patch right now. Things will get better when they call him back to work. You'll see.
A good man doesn't slap his woman around,
I shot back.
He doesn't steal money, neither.
It's not all his fault, Ben,
Mom said, her voice cracking.
It's hard on a man's pride to be out of work. And then he gets to drinking to try to make himself feel better, and he just loses control sometimes. Honestly, he feels as bad about it as you do.
Don't give me that,
I yelled, slamming the scissors down on the table.
What's it going to take before you stop making excuses for him, huh? You want him to knock my teeth out? Maybe split my head open?
Stop it,
Mom yelled. Just stop it.
Tears were streaming from her eyes. Her head was in her hands, and she sobbed like a child, her chest heaving. I suddenly hated myself.
I'm sorry, Mom, I said. I didn't mean to yell. I just want you to be okay.
She cried for a while. I stood next to her, feeling like my head would explode.
It'll get better, Ben. I know it will, she said desperately. I know Larry's a good man. You'll see. Just give me some time. I'll make this marriage work.
I didn't believe her. Not for a second. In school the next day, I couldn't focus on anything. Mr. Mitchell was saying something about Frederick Douglass, but my head echoed with the sound of my mom crying. At lunch, I didn't say a word to anybody. Not even Dez, who kept trying to get me to talk.
You all right, Ben?
What you thinking about, bro?
He asked a few times. I shrugged him off.
After school, I got to Graham's at the usual time.
Mr. Graham gave me that worried look, too, but I didn't feel like talking, so I stayed in the back stocking cans of tomato sauce. I didn't notice time passing until it was almost 6. I'd worked an extra hour. That's when I heard the familiar bell ring and the front door open. Then I heard something strange, a gasp, followed by Mr. Graham's voice, more tense than usual.
There's nothing much here, he said.
I stepped forward to see a big man wearing a black ski mask over his face. He was standing at the counter waving an open switchblade at Mr. Graham.
Shut up, old man, and open up that cash register, the guy said. You stay right there, boy, he added, pointing the knife at me.
I stood still, afraid to move.
Son, you don't have to do this. There's a better way, said Mr. Graham, staring at the man with a mixture of sadness and disbelief.
Fool, I didn't give you permission to talk. Hand over the money. Now.
Just give him the money, Mr. Graham, I called out.
Mr. Graham took a slow, deep breath and opened the register, but the stocky man was in a hurry. When he saw the cash, he shoved Mr. Graham aside, grabbed the bills, and ran. As he dashed out the door, I caught a brief glimpse of his dark eyes. For a split second, I almost thought I recognized them from somewhere.
Ben,
Mr. Graham called from behind the counter, his voice scratchy and weak. He hadn't gotten up. I rushed to his side and could tell something was wrong. He was clutching his chest and his eyes stared crazily at the ceiling.
Mr. Graham, are you okay? Mr. Graham!
He didn't answer. I grabbed the phone from under the counter and dialed 911. In minutes, an ambulance and 2 police cars pulled up.
He's in here,
I shouted out to them. Mr. Graham didn't look good. His eyes were half opened, and his skin had turned slightly gray, but he was still breathing.
You're gonna be okay,
I kept saying to him, hoping it was true. A crowd gathered outside to see what was happening. People groaned as Mr. Graham was carried out to the ambulance. The police had a lot of questions for me, and I told them everything I knew. Then I called Alice.
Oh, my Lord, is he okay, Ben?
She asked when I told her what happened.
I don't know,
I said to her.
I don't know.
I was up in my room later that evening when I heard a car pull up outside. A moment later, Larry was calling up to me in a strange voice.
Ben, come down here. You got some people here to see you, he said.
A small group of strangers were standing on our front step. Larry stood in front of them at the door, his arms nervously crossed on his chest. My mom was next to him. They both looked a little embarrassed. I could tell they were trying to hide the people's view of the beer cans on the table. I only recognized one face in the crowd, Alice. She smiled warmly at me.
Hello, Ben. I just came back from the hospital. I wanted to tell you my father's okay. He had a mild heart attack, but the doctors say he's going to be all right. They said if he didn't get help quick, it would have been much worse. So thank you for being there,
she said, giving me a hug.
You got a good boy here,
she said, turning to Larry. He gave her a fake smile.
I know I do,
Mom replied. Her smile was real.
Anyway, the first person Dad asked about when he woke up was you, Ben,
Alice continued.
He's in room 424 at City General Hospital. Maybe you can visit him.
I like that,
I said to her, looking at all the strange faces staring at me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. Some of our friends wanted to meet you after I told them what happened, she said.
She introduced them quickly, and I shook their hands. They all lived within a few blocks. One man told me he was Dez's uncle, a police officer from another district.
Ben, he said, can you tell us any more about what happened? We're real upset about this. Mr. Graham is like everyone's grandfather. His store is one of the last places left in this neighborhood where folks can still get real food around here. It's a shame this happened to him, of all people.
Everyone nodded as he spoke. They shared his anger.
I wish I saw more, but the guy's face was covered. All I know is he was big and had these dark eyes,
I said, hiding one detail, the feeling that I'd seen them before. I still wasn't sure.
I'll be looking for those eyes everywhere, believe me.
When we get this guy, he's in big trouble, Miss Alice cut in. This was more than a robbery. When he pulled that knife and touched my dad, it became a felony. Once we catch him, he's going away for a long time. Larry listened carefully to everything. As soon as everyone left, he started complaining.
Can't you keep this place looking any nicer?
I headed upstairs, but I could still hear his voice.
Sometimes I'm embarrassed to be living with you.
I turned the fan on to drown out the sound, but he was still yelling.
Why's everyone making such a big deal about an old man anyway?
I shut my door.